Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Throw-In Football Show. I'm Colm Keyes, standing in for Will Slattery, and with me today to reflect on a very exciting weekend of Football League final action is Dick Clerken and Donica Boyle. You're very welcome, gentlemen, this morning. I'm going to put the first question to you, Dick, as a very proud Ulster man. It was a great weekend for Leinster football with Westmeath and Laois winning, wasn't it?
It was. I had a few hands and a few pies. I've Westmeath family with Joe Fallon, so we would remember Joe from playing back in Paddy's days. So my sister-in-law is married to Joe, so we were all cheering for Westmeath on Saturday night. So we were delighted to see them get over the line. And yeah, I make no apologies. I always sort of support, well, by and large, support Ulster teams when they get to finals in Croke Park. So we were sort of leaning towards Derry in the main event yesterday. So it was great. Listen, I thought overall it was a great weekend's entertainment. I think, you know, what was stark as well, watching all the games, I was lucky I had time to watch all the games, was the step up in intensity and quality from Division 4, you know, culminating in the showpiece yesterday, which tells its own story in terms of how the Gaelic games needs to progress going forward. Pitching teams at the right level against each other will invariably get good competitive games. And this, I think, was a great, after all the doomsday around it, God knows we talked about it plenty, Colm and Dominic, over the course of the league. And maybe Mickey Hart listened to our podcast last Monday when we sort of put out a clarion call to try and deliver the game that we got yesterday. So I think it was a great finish off. I think the right team won. And I think it sort of sets us up for hopefully a great summer, albeit in the 1st of April.
Donica, I was probably jesting a bit with Dick there about Leinster football, but it really was for Ulster football. Derry have really put themselves right in the mix now. This was validation now for everything they have done over the last 2 to 3 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And Mickey Hart, I think in his first answer to his first question in his post-match press conference yesterday, referred to that and said, like, our need was great, or we needed to do it. And I think if you're looking at that Derry setup and you look at maybe the Kerry game last year, that they had that in their hands and they let it slip. And they actually let that game slip yesterday twice. And you could argue three times. And Mickey Hart actually reckoned they'd done enough to win the game four times across the 100 plus minutes and the penalty shootout. So they needed that very badly, because I think the fear from a neutral perspective yesterday was that Dublin would frank the form of the last few weeks and win with a bit to spare. And if they did, I think we were looking at a very long summer running into an All-Ireland final. And it would have felt like certainly a little bit of an inevitable coronation for Dublin going down. But that game yesterday, as Dick says, yeah, makes the case for retaining league finals, but it also sets us up for a brilliant summer, because Derry are, if there was any doubt about Derry's credentials, and I think we're going to touch on it, that maybe they didn't have the depth of the other teams, they answered all those questions yesterday, I think, and they are right in the mix now again.
Yeah. And Dick, did one performance and one game of such adventure and such intrigue as it was yesterday, does that change the dynamic a little bit around Gaelic football? Jim Gavin and his Football Review Committee are meeting, launching their review work next Friday. And obviously, in the context of what we saw yesterday, how much does that frame their work in any way now that we have seen a vision of really what the game is like? And we saw it with Derry and Kerry last year too in the All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't know if you remember, I wrote a column a few weeks ago sort of touching on this, and I was a wee bit sort of flippant and say all they need to do was sort of just dictate that teams play like Dublin. And what I mean by that is, like, time and time again, any great games or examples over the last couple of years have been delivered from Dublin or Kerry or now Derry into that mix, in terms of when you play a style of play that is a blend. It's not a throwback to tradition. It's a blend of the modern versus the new, and factored into the physicality, the pace, the skill level that players have now relative to previous years. You can get what you got yesterday. And I think there's a wider conversation, and I don't think rules, and I've said this, I don't think rules are the way to go or going to be the fix. It's really the culture and the approach that managers and teams adopt the rules, because we can tinker around the edges of rules, and we've already learned from our course with Forward Mark that, albeit well-intentioned, you know, it doesn't get the impact that it deserves or it thought it might. So I think that was really a real signal that teams, and watch the game yesterday, watch back, look at it through a different prism when you're not caught up in the game. Watch how at any opportunity that they could kick the ball, both teams did. You know, they put the head up. They were looking for that forward ball. It wasn't all the time. It doesn't need to be all the time. But then look at when other teams play, and you can just see them not even lifting their head, not even attempting to look for the kick, never mind executing it. That's nothing to do with rules. That's coaching. That's instruction. That's the way a team has been all overcoached to play a certain type of way. And that's the discussion I think needs to be had. You know, teams and managers that can't do better than what they're doing need to be challenged, and it needs to be called out, because there's no excuse for it. Like the teams that played on Saturday night could have played a similar type of contest, albeit a lower level, but it still could have had that blend of, you know, tight defence, forward play, long kicks, you know, taking your shots when they were on. Jeez, we'll get to the down game in a minute. Like Conor Laverty was a bit prickly, I think, after the game. You watch back some of the down players, they were almost afraid to shoot. Imagine down, like you were talking about the tradition of down, I was watching them. They actually, I think at one stage I seen a down player got the ball in the 21 in front of the hill. Instead of turning the kick over the bar, he went the opposite direction, give it to somebody 20 yards further. That's nothing to do with rules. You know, so I think there's a bigger conversation maybe for another day, but yesterday's game was a clear example that the rules ultimately aren't the root cause of the problem in Gaelic football. And that's why I've been consistent on that for a long time now.
Donica, there'd be a couple of things about Derry and their capacity to go to the next level. And one of those is the depth of their squad. Last year's Ulster final, they played a similar amount of minutes, 100 minutes, obviously it went to penalties. And in total, they used 18 players. Yesterday, the count was 22, and some of the subs made real impact. And I think in Lachlan Murray and Owen McAvoy now at centre-back, they have two players that have really stepped up to the next level. But also, their bench and their resources appear to be under Mickey Hart deeper now. Is that fair enough to say?
I think so, and the proof is in the numbers column. I did the Derry-Roscommon game last weekend, and Matthew Downey came off the bench, and I made it that was the 37th player they had used across the McKenna Cup and the league. And I actually happened to cover Mickey Hart's very first game in charge of Derry. It was in the McKenna Cup in a miserable January night. It was a Wednesday night in Cavan. And that was one of the questions I was put to him. And in fairness to Mickey, he doesn't often hide from questions when it's put to him directly. And he was asked about, look, is depth a big thing? And he said, yeah, look, he said in a roundabout way, more or less said, we need to find one or two more. And whatever it was, 11 games later, they'd used 27 players. So that was a very deep trawl for a county that already has an established core group of players. And I think, as you say, 22 versus the 18 in last year's Ulster final, I think that speaks volumes. And not only did he use 22, but those players had an impact. You know, I'm just trying to remember what they got off the bench yesterday.
Niall Turner came off the bench and scored 2 points.
And yeah.
Cormac Murphy set up Owen McAvoy's second goal. So those were impact off the bench that you don't normally see from Derry.
No, and Murphy has had a couple of very good games this year. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the real finds for them. And he's quite dynamic, and particularly yesterday actually reminded me a little bit of Kevin McManaman, because he's so hard to stop when he comes, meets the ball on time, and he's a brilliant sidestep and sort of low to the ground and seems to be a powerful runner. So he not only were he using players, but the players who had an actual impact. Donnchadh Gilmore's contribution yesterday, probably remembered for getting turned over at the end of normal time. But I think he's been a real find for Derry as well. He's been given more and more responsibility. And he's made rapid progress, you know, from playing Stickerson Cup football this year into being one of those fellas that when Gavin Devlin and Mickey Hart turn around, he's one of the first fellas they look to if he's not starting. So, yeah, I think they've found one or two, and they had to find. That was really, like, going back to that Kerry game again, I think was it late on, Brendan Rodgers just got turned over, and you're thinking, like, is he just so fatigued? Is that why, you know, they just need someone else to help come in and carry some of the load? And yeah, I think on yesterday's evidence, they've found one or two.
Dick, the other issue you might say about Derry is that their dependency on Shane McGuigan up front is too great. But Owen McAvoy scored his third goal yesterday in the league. He got two goals, obviously. He scored 2-2. He was their top scorer. They've now got 8 goals coming from the back out of 16 in this year's league campaign. They really can source scores and source attacking. They can really get on the front foot from the back so quickly, and that's one of their strengths.
They have, yeah. But I think that's been a consistent, see, over the last couple of years. They've always been very, so you're throwing Garrett McInnes into that mix as well. So they've been consistently strong running. The problem that they had was, so that was a constant, right? And they always had Shane McGuigan, and there was the concern when Shane was sort of locked down, would that contribution from the back be enough? And it ultimately fell short. But the boys from the back who are well versed on now, I was hugely impressed with Lachlan Murray yesterday, Colm. Again, as an alternative point of attack when their talisman in McGuigan was been tightly marked. It gave them another outlet. It didn't mean that they had to completely change their approach, and they had to sort of, they were still able to let in long ball. They had another option if McGuigan wasn't. And like, I thought he was superb, to be honest with you, for somebody that's relatively new and, you know, was probably living in McGuigan's shadow, rightly so. I thought he was superb. I think he kicked 3 points, but he was a constant turn. Just that little, it's so unusual now to see corner forwards getting the ball, taking their men on, having that bit of confidence. It was just so refreshing to see, and refreshing to see a team playing forwards as forwards. And I just thought he was a joy to watch. And whatever, you know, you can sort of take it as a given. It'll be McAvoy, it'll be Conor McCluskey, it'll be these boys bombing forward. But now, not just with Wigan, they've young Murray in there inside, which is, and then we'll talk about their midfield in the middle. Like, they are putting together a very, very balanced and potent team right across the board. There's no question about it.
Donnchadh, it's probably the perfect time for a defeat like this, albeit on penalties, but they did trail for a lot of that game, Dublin. But it's the perfect time for a result like this to come in many respects. Obviously, they would love to win a league final, but ahead of the championship, it just sows something into Dublin that, you know, they will have to step up again, that they have a real rival. They have a real rival now in Derry. Is the timing of this defeat okay for them?
Yes, I think so. I think that, you know, Dublin, you would say, won't have a game of consequence now for several weeks. You'd expect them to cruise through Leinster again, and they'll go into the All-Ireland series. And if they'd won the league and won the games in the fashion of winning them, steamrolling Tyrone, as I said, 22 points against Galway in a wet pitch, and then seeing off one of the main contenders, Derry. Had that been the case, you know, I suppose you're looking at Dublin, and as I mentioned earlier, the long coronation. But they have, I suppose, got not an awakening, because they would have been very aware of how good Derry were yesterday. But I'd imagine on some level, Desi Farrell knows he can use this. I'd imagine Brian Fenton will have a bee in his bonnet after yesterday. He got a red card. He reacted. It was probably a harsh red card for me, but you never see him reacting. I don't think he's been sent off in 10 years with Dublin. And, you know, other little things like that, I suppose the big positive for them was that they kept coming back. You know, they kept at the end of extra, they looked to be beaten a couple of times. They came back at the end of normal time. They came back at the end of extra time. They found a way and then lost on penalties. And penalties defeats, I suppose, can be taken in a slightly different way. And Kieran McGeaney referenced it yesterday. He said, like, we don't really count penalties in our place, was his comment. So they are slightly different in terms of, like, you're going into a little bit of a lottery, for want of a better description. Like, you know, it's a peculiar way to decide a game, I suppose. So I think there is some merit in it, because Dublin are measured in all Ireland, like, no doubt about it, not national leagues. And, you know, by the time we're looking at these two teams playing again, maybe in a semi-final or something like that, I think the league final will only have limited impact on what might happen that day.
Of course, the last time they lost a Division One league final was to Kerry in 2017, and they went on to complete the three in a row. But Dick, I felt that Brian Fenton yesterday, and we've lauded his 10-year career that's almost been carried out to perfection, really. But yesterday, I felt he was under more pressure against an opponent in Brendan Rodgers and obviously Conor Glass than he has been at any stage in his career. And notably, neither himself or Kieran Kilkenny or Conor Callaghan, Dublin had 14 scores, but none of that trio who have been instrumental in that five-game winning run through the league, so impressive. None of them scored from play, but I found Fenton was under pressure yesterday.
Yeah, and he was probably under pressure going into it. And, like, listen, I have there's few people are bigger fans of Brian Fenton than me, and I've written and spoken here repeatedly about it. And what you might think is a negative or against, so I think it's great to see, because it adds to the Fenton's tapestry as a player. I would have felt the early start of his career, it was almost unrealistic. That shouldn't happen, that you just sort of have such an easy sort of walk through your career and just picking up all Ireland and all stars. It was almost, you know, that doesn't normally happen. And then the dip came. And I always sort of said, if those boys can come back after all that they'd won and win another one, well, to me, that would have been better than anything. And they did that. And he came back and he was their sort of leader. And now there's another team coming at them again. And I think that's what you want to see. And Brian Fenton's, if he's going to finish up as a legacy of one of the greatest midfielders, he needs days like yesterday to come back from and to sort of know he should be thinking of nothing else. Sarah, I want to and get those boys again later in the summer, and we'll all be sitting on the edge of our seat watching it, because that's what we love about sport, that's what we love about football. It can't always be footballer of the year, all-star, Sam, wash and repeat. You have to have days like that. God knows that was all I ever experienced, was the ups and downs, and the downs were far more many. So I think it was completely natural what he went through. He was been targeted. You know, we talk about Mickey Hart in the game. What was Mickey Hart's greatest asset as a manager over the years was getting his team ready for big days in Croke Park against teams that were often deemed better than them. And he'd done it again yesterday. Got the matchups right. He targeted the players that he needed to target, and they'd done a job for them. Do you know what I mean? And Fenton was one of the casualties from Dublin. It was, you know, Rodgers was saying, you're going to run this man down. He athletically, he cannot outrun you. So you're going to put him on the back foot and you're going to actually stick him. And then if you notice, they swapped again. Glass was on him for a while then towards the latter half. So Fenton just physically wasn't able to dominate the skies, and he wasn't able to get up and down the pitch because he had someone like Brendan Rodgers, who when he was playing as a full back was one of the best man marking full backs in the game. And now he's out doing it on midfielders, which I can tell you is a nightmare. So I can completely empathise with Brian Fenton yesterday, but I'm looking forward to already maybe a repeat showdown later in the summer, because listen, that it was great to see in some respects, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Donica, champions are always great at taking on siege mentality, and I'm sure Dublin will do that over the coming months now that they've been stung just a little bit. But I felt they were all at sea from their kickouts, and obviously that created numerous goal chances. There was up to 6 clear-cut goal chances for Derry in that game. Obviously Dublin had goal chances too, but these were clear-cut goal chances, and at least 3 of them directly came off kickouts. And it was almost reminiscent of the 2014 All-Ireland semi-final that Dublin lost, the 3 goals that Donegal scored to win that game. And after that, there was a long period of reflection for Jim Gavin and how the philosophy that he brought to Dublin and how they played the game. Is Desi Farrell facing a similar moment now, given that Dublin have really been off the leash in this league campaign and they've played some scintillating football? But yesterday, they conceded 3-18, second time for them to concede 3 goals in this league. Is there a moment of reflection now for Dublin and their philosophy going into the championship?
I think it's when Desi starts his debrief this morning or whenever it happens, the first thing he'll talk about is the amount of goal chances that Derry created. It was remarkable, because you just don't see that from Dublin really over the last year when they're brilliant teams, a six in a row team. They just didn't cough up chances like that. And Derry seemed to do it without doing anything. Like their hand passing was on point and very accurate and all that, but they didn't have to do, it came quite easy to them. And I use that word relatively, but if they created six good chances, as you say, and converted three, you know, there's certainly an issue there. You referenced the 2014 game, and yeah, that was sort of the turning point for them. That game was slightly different because I suppose Dublin could have been out of sight at halftime against Donegal. Like from memory, I think Jim O'Connolly had a very good goal chance, possibly Paul Flynn.
That as well, yeah.
They could have had the job done at halftime, and you know who knows what way that would have sent football history if Dublin hadn't to lose that game and then reinvent Keane O'Sullivan the way they did. But yesterday was never like that. You know, I never felt like that. It was never that Dublin were going to run away with it, like they were going to run away with it in the 2014 match. But yeah, it's security is option number one. And the kick out things, you're right. Yeah, Derry really went after them. And it begs the question, you know, who's going to be in goals come the big games? And it's a tricky one, because if you're Evan Comerford, you know, how long of an apprenticeship are you asked to serve before you're handed the reins and handed the responsibility? He's been there for a long time. And, you know, even stepping aside for one of the greats like Stephen Cluxton is fine. Like, but at some stage, that's going to wear as well. You know, how long are you going to stand by and let Stiles play? Is that what Dublin are planning? When are they going to bring him back in? So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that develops. You know, Cluxton was knocking around yesterday. So, you know, when does he reintroduce him? You know, that's a big question. And, you know, what do you say to Evan Comerford if he does reintroduce him? You know, say, look at Evan, you're on the sideline again. And that'll be a difficult ask for a fella who is probably in his mid-20s now, I would say, has been around the Dublin panel 4, 5, 6 years easily. That's job number one is the number of goal chances conceded and two, kick-out retention, I'd imagine.
Dick, if you're Desi Farrell, are you reaching back for Stephen Cluxton at this point?
Well, it's okay. I think Stephen Cluxton was the reason they lost yesterday. And again, remember, they didn't lose. They lost from penalties, even with the level of dominance. I think a stat threw up in the halfway through the second half, the possession was something like 60-40 or 65-35. Like for a while in that second half, Derry absolutely dominated Dublin in terms of kickouts and, you know, general possession, and that's the root cause. That's the problem. Not the problem wasn't when the ball got to the goal. It's how it got there. You know, their inability to sort of compete in the game. This it could just whatever Dublin. You have to just give credit. Like Dublin aren't going to face a midfield like Rodgers and Conor Glass again, because that's to me now is the best midfield pairing, because Dublin's will chop and change. We don't know what Dublin's best. We know they're the best midfielders, Fenton, who goes with them, but they played the best midfield partnership in the game at the minute, and they came out second best. Simple as that, and that ultimately set the tone of the play in terms of what they were able to set up going forward. But equally then, when Dublin didn't have the ball around the middle, that they couldn't do the same. You know, like for all its nuances and innovations, Gaelic football is still relatively a simple game. If you dominate the middle third and dominate possession, and we mean by dominate, it's not 80-20, it's just having that the scales tipped in your favour. You know, better teams will invariably win, and that's just what Derry done yesterday. And even he doesn't get much mention. I thought Kieran McFaul was super yesterday, very influential, picking up a lot of ball. Again, I mentioned earlier, playing head up football. You could always see him sort of looking inside, almost encouraging people to make runs, because he's sort of a bit of an old school type footballer. Like he's blended in there. He's been a real find, not a find since he came back from America. He's been a real asset, really athletic, kick points. Bit of badness in him as well, and he just sort of slips in there between, you know, 45s picking up ball, and I just think that's where they lost the game. They were just completely overrun around the middle, and you know, Derry had good enough forwards and the boys coming up from back to make use of that possession. But at the same time, even with that dominance, Dublin still basically pulled the game into a draw. So I don't think Desi Farrell needs to completely tear up the script to just sort of say, well, we're playing Derry again. We need to get a better return out in the middle here, boys. We need a bit more aggression, a bit more intensity. Don't let these boys dominate us like they did yesterday.
You're potentially looking at Cluxton, Mick Fitzsimons and James McCarthy going into the mix there as well. Jack McCaffrey, you know, that, as you say, Dick, they lost on penalties yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's four fellas who would surely tip that, if that game was replayed again and the four of them were involved, it'd surely tip the scale in Dublin's favour, you'd imagine. So, you know, it's Dublin will be fine. I don't think we need to worry about Dublin.
And there's not too many teams out there, I would say, no other team has. You're talking about the goals. Very few teams have the pace to en masse to get in behind and sort of maintain that pace down the field that you need to sort of not just beat your man once you get ahead of him around the 60-metre line in the midfield, to maintain that right up to the end point. Derry have lots of those guys, as we know. But then the technical, you touched on it, Donegal, you watch the games on Saturday night, that level of technical proficiency with the hand and short play just wasn't there. Like, Derry boys are very, very good on the ball, very comfortable on the ball. So to be that technically good and at that pace, that is, as we've seen yesterday, a lethal combination.
Gents, was it a surprise that Dublin lost on penalties? I would have always equated them with being the most efficient team from the spot, or one of the most efficient teams from the spot. But obviously that was in the Dean Rock era, and perhaps Dermot Connolly too. Was it a surprise that Derry prevailed, given that they had twice effectively lost control of the game when they had it? There could have been a bit of scarring. So stepping up, you would expect, yes, Dublin's efficiency, and given where they came from, I was certainly surprised by that.
You're a good stats man. Have Dublin ever had a penalty shootout? I couldn't remember one. Have they ever even experienced that? I don't think they have. No. Well, there you go. No matter how many
Ireland's. Only a handful of counties have, really, haven't they?
Yeah, well, Derry have a couple, possibly. They've definitely won Ulster. No, they've twos. So even just that is such an unusual situation for a player to be in. You've no idea how they're going to react to what's going through their heads. So Conor Callaghan, these boys stepping up, they've never been there before, and it doesn't matter how many medals you have in your back pocket, it's daunting for anybody. And no, they didn't do good. Penalties were poor, and Derry did look more confident. Ushing Lynch, having been in that situation before, certainly looked a wee bit more confident in goals, and that's the way it played out. So as you say, it's an interesting learning curve for Dublin, one that they haven't had before, you know.
Donegal, what's the hierarchical order now going into the All-Ireland Football Championship? What's your one? Obviously, there's three. What's your one, two, three?
Dublin, Derry, Kerry. Dublin, as I say, with the profile still to come back, with the upward trajectory that those players are on, I think a lot of people, and myself included, were surprised by just how good Dublin looked at times in this league. Now, Desi Farrell made an interesting comment yesterday. If I can dig it out here, I will. But essentially he said, look, we were aware that how the results that we'd had recent weeks had been perceived, and this wasn't a true reflection of where they were at. That the Derry game was going to be the real test of where they were at. But, you know, we're repeating ourselves, but the fact that they were beaten on penalties, came back from the dead twice, to go to extra time and then go to penalties, and did it without, you'd imagine, the leaders of the dressing room, Mick Fitzsimons, James McCarthy, Stephen Cluxton. I still think they're number one. I still think they'd be where my money would be going. I think Derry move into number two because, and a very close number two, but to go to number two because the questions we had about them last year on the evidence of yesterday, they've answered an awful lot of them. They've won a lot of games. They've won tight games. They've won a big game at Croke Park. They've won it by turning to their bench, which they weren't able to do or wouldn't do in last year's All-Ireland semi-final. And then Kerry are next then. That potentially, Kerry could take out either of them on their day, but I think there's just a question mark or two more over them than there would be over Dublin or Derry. So that's my order, Dublin, Derry, Kerry.
Is that a sentiment you agree with, Dick? Do you see anybody getting in among that three?
Oh, God. Oh, listen, I think you could throw a blanket over half a dozen teams before that. Before those three. There's definitely a separation there. I think you have Galway, you have Armagh, you have Donegal, you have Tyrone, you have Monaghan, Roscommon. I think they could all beat each other on any given day. There'd be nothing between them, but I think there is definitely a separation there. As between Kerry and Derry, it's hard to know. See, Kerry, look at their league. You know, there's a recency bias, obviously, with Derry after watching yesterday. Kerry weren't in that game because they didn't want to be. They didn't pull out their best team for most of the league. You know, the two Cliffords were rested, I think, for the early game. They didn't play against Derry in that first fixture in Kerry. So, you know, if Kerry had have went at the league in the same way as Derry did, would it have been Kerry Dublin yesterday? Quite possibly. We don't know. But I think, yeah, listen, you can argue the toss. I'd toss a coin between Derry and Kerry if you were to put them out in the morning. But there's no question. There's those three. And then it's the field behind them, which is great. Jesus, we were talking about one team in the field. Last week I have a bet going with Conor McKeown. He is Dublin and I have everybody else. So I'm looking a wee bit better this morning than I was last week, at least, you know.
Two of those teams, Armand Donegal, that are under that blanket that you mentioned, played out the Division 2 league final yesterday. Nowhere near the standard I felt, or certainly the excitement or exhilaration, anything like that, compared to the game that followed. A missed opportunity, perhaps, for Armagh, given the scale of players that Donegal were missing, Dick.
Yeah, and I didn't like immediately after, you know, there was almost excuses been made about stress. Jesus, everyone was their excuses. Everyone's injuries. You had an opportunity again to win a final, win a big game, and you didn't. End of story. You know, history doesn't, you know, when you see the results in the Independent on the Monday or on Wikipedia in 5 years' time, there isn't a footnote of reasons why you lost. You know, it was an opportunity missed for Armagh. I said last week, I thought they had more reason to want to win it, because of you know, the just a lack of silverware and success in big pivotal games. And I was getting another opportunity missed again. As you say, I thought it was a good game. I thought it was relatively competitive. I thought it was an awful lot better than the previous night, but obviously by no comparison to what followed it. But I just thought they didn't bring enough over the course of the hour. That they had more there. Like, they finished, you know, the last 10 minutes they played with a much more energy intensity. Even with players missing and sick, I'd be asking Kieran McGeaney and the boys, well, why didn't you start like that? Do you know what I mean? If you can play like that in the last 10, 15 minutes when you needed to win the game and you're 3 or 4 points down, start the game like that. Don't be making excuses at the end of it. Do you know what I mean? Because they had enough on the pitch there. As you say, Donegal are missing plenty. They had enough there to get that game, to win that game, and they didn't. And that would be disappointing again from an Armagh's point of view, because I was saying there once when we were watching it yesterday, they do try to play good football. They do try to play, you know, front foot football and try to kick it. And I want to see teams that try to play that get the success they deserve. So, you know, I was disappointed in some ways that they didn't win, because they do try to play good football, but don't be making excuses for it. They didn't deliver a good enough performance. End of story.
Well, obviously, they got impact off the bench from Stephen Campbell, who has been very good throughout this league, and Rian O'Neill, who hasn't played a whole lot of league football. Had they been on the field from the start, perhaps they would have won that game.
And Oisin, Colm, and Oisin O'Neill, you know, he missed all of last year, I think, or an awful lot.
It's good to see him back.
I think he could be a big addition for them as well. Yeah, I was in the room with Kieran McGeaney afterwards. He was the best part of an hour coming around out to do the media stuff afterwards, and you know, you're expecting at that stage maybe would there be steam coming out of the ears, but he was actually quite, you know, he did say that, you know, there was a bug in the camp, they didn't have a training session. He did it in such a way, like, I didn't feel like he was making excuses or reasons. He was like saying, look, we were terrible, we didn't deliver, we were bad. I didn't take it as should we never stood a chance. I don't think that was the tone of the comments that he was making. But he did accept totally that it was a complete underperformance. And it is a little bit of a, you know, I agree with Dick. Armagh needed that, I think, more than Donegal needed, particularly in the context of the players Donegal didn't have. You know, Paddy McBrearty, Owen Bond, Ryan McHugh. You know, they were also missing
Brendan McCall, Owen Bond, Gallagher, Darrow Beal wasn't playing for them. So that the cohort, a really strong cohort for Jim McGinnis to bring back in, whether it's for the Derry game in 3 weeks' time, we'll see. But certainly into the future, Donegal look like they have really got it together, and that just stamped it yesterday.
Yeah, they did. And you know, Jim McGinnis was trying but couldn't really hide how happy he was. He wanted to get back out and watch Derry in the Division 1 final in his post match stuff. So but yeah, for them, like, real sort of early in his second coming, a real sort of fill up for them to have that done and over the line. And Crow Park silverware in the fight, because Jim made the an awful lot of them were going to Croke Park for the first time to play a lot of his team. And that was, even some of the Donegal fellas were, Donegal reporters were like sort of scratching their head and unsure about some of the fellas who had been sort of parachuted into the panel in the last, for the game yesterday, because that's how they've had an awful lot of injuries, like a lot of counties. And, you know, that's a real boost for them to win that game, the manner they won it without the people, without the sort of the main players that they won it without.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I'd be a penny for Jimmy Guinness's thoughts to watch in the second game. Like, Jimmy Guinness is back. Like, he's if it winning all Ireland's, you know, and he would have seen yesterday as a bit of a stepping stone towards that. Like, what's he thinking now in terms of trying to prepare that Donegal team for Derry, knowing that, you know, by any measure they're a good step up. So it'd be really interesting to see what he's going to prepare and how he's going to that fence he built up around Ballybofey, wherever it was, will come into effect now, because he'll have to come up with something really special now to try and bridge the gap. Because let's be honest, there was a significant gap there. Now it depends if he gets those players back. He need every player that he has at his disposal. He got the height and physicality around the middle to compete with the boys. There's no doubt about that. He has got strong runners, and he's got, tell you what they have, and it was noticeable yesterday, that they're obviously been told and give the confidence to shoot from distance and back themselves. You know, they weren't sort of, you know, the likes of Kieran Thompson, Oisin Ganel, Niall O'Donnell. You know, when they got 30, 40 yards out with the space, it was a case of, right, guys, that you know, take the shot. You're good enough. Don't be recycling it. Don't be wasting time giving it to somebody else. Back yourself. They got a lot of good scores from that. And like, that's an interest. I'd say that's coached as well, because you see so many other teams don't do that. They're always passing it around, trying to give it to somebody else, whereas it was obvious yesterday that they were backing themselves. Plenty of wise, yes, but ultimately they got enough on the scoreboard to see them just out in front when the final whistle blew.
And Dick, similarities for Armagh, going back to Armagh, but you know, they come so far and they're capable of that burst. They scored five in a row in through the last quarter to get ahead by a point. And that was similar to the Ulster final against Derry last year, when they got ahead but were pegged back. And vaguely similar to the Galway game, the All-Ireland quarterfinal, when they got back level and obviously went ahead in extra time. But they just seem not able to close the deal at this level.
Yeah, no, there's a fair list of games in the Monaghan game as well. A couple of Monaghan games over the last few years when they were in winning positions. There's something missing there. I don't know what it is, and it's Kieran McGeaney's kicking himself, that bit of just bit of savvy, or been sort of, you knowing how to close out a game. Like, they do, I think the players that they have, they benefit playing off the front foot. You know, the Stephen Campbells, they like to play like that. So it's a case of almost, they need to just outscore a team and just be going as hard as long as they can, as opposed to being a sort of a cagey sort of calculating team that others might be. So I think it's a case of getting those players out, letting them play. Even the two O'Neills, like he needs to figure out what he's doing there. Like, Rian O'Neill is too good a player, you know, to be jumping around between bench, midfield, full forward. You know, he's exceptional, but would I think, looking at that they've really sort of nailed down where his position in that team is and role he plays? No, and that's a question mark, because he's too good not to have that nailed down, because he's the type of player, he's a Croke Park player, he's a player that's going to be the difference between winning and losing. And I think, and then it's great to see his brother back as well, because he's a huge talent. I thought injuries were knocking him back. So, you know, like manager's job is to get the best players out on the pitch playing well together. I think McGeaney definitely has good enough players. He just needs to figure out how to get them out there and get them playing it the way they do long enough, you know.
Donegal, Derry and Donegal is perhaps the first big blockbuster football championship game. Obviously, there are games next weekend, and for Dick, Monaghan and Cavan is obviously...
Sorry. Second blockbuster, you mean?
fitting that description. But I have to say, in the context of the overall picture, Derry, Donegal and Celtic Park on Saturday, April 20th, that has a real feel about it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think whoever's going to cover that one will be setting off at breakfast time to get in time to cover it. It's it has a real, it has everything. It has obviously Mickey Hart and Jim McGuinness again. There's loads of little subplots which are interesting. But I think on the basis of yesterday, I kind of agree with Dick that there was a big step between the Division 2 final and Division 1 final. I think from out covering matches, you see that it can be surprising at how obvious it is. Which teams are operating at which level. So I think Donegal have a fair bit to find on yesterday's evidence to go to Celtic Park and win. I think there's a lot of ground to cover in 3 weeks against a Derry team that have been, if, whatever they've been very good, but they've also been very consistent. And that's the sort of the big thing that you see in the difference between Division 1 and Division 2 teams. That even when they're not going well, they can pick up a point or two, or they can manage the game. You saw that other teams, they can play in fits and starts, and they can reel off maybe 4 or 5 points. But, you know, they concede an awful lot when the game is going against them, and maybe they lose a bit of their shape and their balance. The better Division 1 teams don't do that. Even when it's going against them, they can sort of ride out the storm for a little while. So I think Donegal have an awful lot of time to go to Celtic Park and win in less than 3 weeks from now. But yeah, a brilliant game to really kick off the championship. But I think if Jim McGuinness can find the difference between now and then, he'll have done a hell of a job.
And before that, Dick, the weekend before that, potentially, so long as Westmeath overcome Wicklow, they will be playing Kildare in a game that will effectively decide whether Westmeath will play Sam Maguire football. Because if Kildare beat them, and Kildare qualify for a Leinster final, and that's, there's a lot of ifs around that. Yeah. But it's a very, very important game for Westmeath now to follow on from Division 3 to beat Wicklow and then to put out Kildare out of the Leinster Championship to give themselves that chance to get to a Leinster final. So it really is important that they beat Kildare.
It just doesn't feel right when you even say it like that, does it? You can see if you're Westmeath going, you know, like... on one hand, we're sitting deriding the relevance of the provincial champions, yet Kildare win one game, which trumps the seven that they lost in Division 2 League, and that gets them a place. I don't care who you are, there's something fundamentally wrong with that and anybody in Westmeath. But let's play it out first. Hopefully Westmeath continue their form and show that they are a better team than Kildare. I do think Kildare are better than what they've shown. So I wouldn't surprise me in the slightest psychologically going into that game. It's all with Kildare because they've nothing to lose. You know, they should be, you know, and so don't be one bit surprised if we're talking about how hard done by Westmeath are in a few weeks' time, because that could conceivably go Kildare's way. And that's for what broader conversation. It is unfair because, in fairness, they went down there and put their best foot forward and they deservedly won on Saturday night, and they showed, you know, patches of a team or glimpses that, you know, like we seen last year, that they're well fit to compete up at Sam Maguire level. And I think that's what any competition structure needs to ensure, that the teams in any given year that are fit to compete in that should. And that'd be it. Let's see. We're playing devil's advocate a wee bit, but that's the way it could very well go. But listen, let's not take away from the great success there on Saturday. That stands on its own merits as well. You know, it was a great performance, and a few great performances from individuals from Westmeath, you know.
We've been waiting for that back to the walls performance as well, haven't we? Like from Kildare, you know. They've been shipping blows and shipping blows, and you're waiting for a reaction from the group, and it didn't really manifest. And I think there has to be a kick in them. And if Westmeath win through to that game, I think that picks right. Kildare will have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and win that game. They're in Sam Maguire football. Leinster final, no one expect anything of them, but you know, from there, you know, they can salvage something from their season if they can if they can get over Westmeath.
There is a possibility that a team from Connacht or Ulster, a Division 3 or 4 team from Connacht or Ulster, could still reach a provincial final if Westmeath didn't. So even if they beat Kildare, it's not an absolute certainty, but it puts them a long way down the road. But for Down are looking like they won't be involved in Sam Maguire football unless, of course, they go and reach an Ulster final now. But their record in finals, this was highlighted in advance of this final, that they have a very, very poor record, Dunica, in finals. And this was another blow to them, and another poor performance in Croke Park, really, for Down.
It was. I'm always a little suspicious of those sort of historical records thing. You know, I think it's much more relevant across a group of players or in term of management as opposed to over a couple of decades. I think in terms of Down and the Conor Laverty project, the Tailteann Cup final last year and the manner of it was a blow, and last night was a blow as well, because when the game was there to be won, they started to make some some really sort of peculiar decisions in terms of their shooting. They kicked some really bad wides that they nearly knocked the life out of themselves with some of the decision making they made and the execution. Because some, the shot from, you know, on occasion, the shot from the right place, but they just pulled them sort of almost inexplicably wide. So I think when you put that on top of the defeat to Meath in the Tailteann Cup final last year, where they kind of faded out, towards as the game went on and Meath finished much stronger. I think, yeah, that's, they're kind of stuck in a bit of a rut at the minute down. And certainly at the start of last year, I thought the graph was trending generally upwards for them, but now they just seem to be struggling to get to that next level.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of naivety now and a bit of a learning curve for Conor Lafferty, who I have said on this podcast, it was great credit to him that he sort of went in there and took that job and tried to move the county on when there was a lot of that sort of internal issues with Kilcoo and county. So great credit. But, you know, he need to realise that what was good enough for club football with Kilcoo is not going to cut it at inter-county level. You know, you'll get so far. And you know, down for me, were the better team. They're a better bunch of players, a better potential there than Westmeath. And I thought, you know, for large parts of the game, that they were the better team, but they were just a little, they weren't getting the best out of their good players. It was taking a little bit of individuality from the likes of Liam Kerr, who was great to watch, but they never got the likes of Murdoch, who were all, you know, you talked about him here, I think, was it yourself, Dunica, or Connor last week, who has, you know, huge potential, but they just didn't get him into the game. And, you know, they didn't play with any sort of fluency or fluidity that Croke Park demands. You know, they turned up last year in the Tatchell Cup football. I thought they were woefully negative and played a terrible brand of football, and it was more of the same yesterday or on Saturday night. So Conor Lafferty will need to realise, you know, I need to bring more to the table here in terms of inter-county level if he wants to be competing at the level that Kilcoo were at their own peers. But it's a different game. You know, it's not going to get the job done now, especially now when the game has moved on inter-county level at the top teams, the likes of the Dublins, the Derrys and the Kerrys. They play a more expansive, open, positive brand of football that if you want to beat them and compete with them, you're going to have to try and get your players to play and down. There's potential there. There is, but it has to come from the sideline to allow their players to play a wee bit more openness, because there's, again, two outings in Croke Park over the last 12 months and they've been very disappointing. There's no point in saying otherwise.
They do have a very, the route to the Ulster final is manageable, in fairness to them. Just looking at it here, they're in the Antrim first, and then it's the winners of Fermanagh or Armagh. I think if you're down at the start of the year, you look at that, like considering what it could be, you look at the other side of the draw, Derry, Donegal, Tyrone, Monaghan, Cavan.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at any of those four teams would be going like, well, as this is as manageable as an Ulster Championship can get. So if you're down, like all hope is not lost there.
Absolutely not. And like down, there's a traditional rivalry there. I think it was, I don't know if any of you seen that left the TV running after the final yesterday. There was a GA Gold thing running on GABO, and they had the 1981 Ulster final between Treen Down and Armagh played. We sat and watched it, and my father was saying he would have played against those boys. It was great to watch, actually. They should do more of that, but that would have been a very traditional rivalry in Ulster, which has sort of fallen away over the recent years. So Down have another crack, and they should be sort of looking at that game, because they should get over Antrim to say, right, here's an opportunity to get to an Ulster final, but equally, you play at the level that I think they can play at potentially. But yeah, we'll wait and see.
The perception there, perhaps, that Down don't have enough of a kicking game to play really well. Now, notwithstanding that they ran in 8 goals in a Tailteann Cup game against Tailteann Cup semi final against Laois last year, but last Saturday evening Laois recovered. They brought a kicking game to Croke Park, and obviously Leitrim afforded them the space to go and do that. But still, for Justin McNulty, Dunica, job done really.
Yeah, and when Justin's name was linked to the Laois job before it was confirmed, like, I think it raised a lot of eyebrows because he'd been out of the game so long at the inter-county level. And he returned, and I suppose job number one would have been getting out of Division 4, and he's managed that. You have to give him good credit for it, because obviously he had an awful lot going on in his professional life as well, to manage on that side of things with installment and all that. So, I think that Laois group he was going into might have been damaged by that eight goal hammering at the hands of Down, but he seems to have turned that around quite quickly, and they seem to be playing with a bit of confidence, and there was no doubt that they were the better team on Saturday.
Okay, gents, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your contribution this morning. Michael Verney will be back with the Hurling Throw-In podcast next week. And don't forget to rate, review us on Spotify or wherever you pick up your podcasts.